Well, it's the end of May. Have you succeeded or abandoned your New Year's resolution to get into better shape? Or are you thinking of getting started now that the weather is turning nice again? Join in as we talk about our physical fitness this hour with our own personal trainer. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll welcome your questions and your own tips and success stories and how you plan to get your exercise this summer at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll also discuss how to get started on a new exercise routine, common pitfalls to avoid, and whether it's possible to exercise too much. Our guest is Pete Miller, personal trainer and owner of the Pete Miller Performance Group, a Milwaukee-based team of personal fitness professionals. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, a couple of different reasons why we wanted to do this show. We did do a show at the first of the year on New Year's resolutions, and guess what? I didn't reach my goal yet, so we thought we would.
You're good company.
Yeah, right, I know. But we also, just to start off, wanted to talk about a story that was in the news recently that, you know, it was a little bit startling to read the headline, "Too Much Exercise May Be Harmful to Your Health." And it talked about two new studies in a British journal that raise concerns, especially for people who might have some heart disease, that exercising every day was bad for them. What was your reaction to this study?
Well, I think the study is worth discussing, of course, which is why you're having it on the show today. The common sense needs to be applied, you know, when developing an exercise program. And one of the first questions should be, you know, why are we doing what we're doing? The study does bring up thoughts to the benefits, the cause and effect relationship between too much exercise and not enough exercise, and somewhere in between there's a happy medium that we're trying to find.
Right. It did say that those who did it every day, they didn't have a great outcome. Those who didn't do it at all didn't have a great outcome, but those who exercised moderately had the best outcome.
Right. And I'm a big fan of appropriately and systematically moving from more than just moderate exercise on a regular basis, but it needs to be thoughtful, and it needs to be done with a plan in mind and end result. I think the study, certainly, like you've said, brings up some questions. The study, you know, when you look at the group that they studied, the average person was a 61-year-old male, history of heart disease, current or former smoker, overweight, and was, you know, and when they looked at the study, the ones that were exercising at high and frequent intensities had good results, but not as good a results as those that exercised in a moderate fashion.
Yeah. Well, it probably is a good idea. Well, what is your advice? If let's say I've been a couch potato all winter long, I haven't quite been a couch potato, but let's say we haven't done too much exercise all winter long. We've just kind of been hibernating. How do we get started on a new exercise routine?
Well, first of all, don't hibernate in the winter. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is a great state to, you know, if you've lived here long enough, you know how to bundle up and get out there and get active or get into a gym and do some training. So to get started, I would suggest, you know, choose an exercise, a form of exercise that you can like. I'm not saying you may like it at first, but that you can like, because what you enjoy doing over time will be something that you'll do. So the best form of exercise is what you enjoy doing, because you'll be more compliant with it. Be reasonable in how you start off. Listen to how your body's feeling. I think a great way when it comes to cardiovascular exercise to judge how hard you're working is just use a rate of perceived exertion scale on a scale of 1 to 10. Pay attention to how you're feeling. If a 1 is a very, very light effort, 2 a little bit more, 3 and 4 more moderate, 5 strong, 6 very strong, 7, 8 hard to very hard, and 9 and 10 maximum, just get started. You should be somewhere between a 3 to a 5 overall when you're exercising.
All right. So pick something we like. Make sure we exert a little bit. Be reasonable with our approach. I guess how do we know if we're being active enough? What's the perfect mix of activity that we should be considering?
Well, I think exercising, moving on a thoughtful basis every day is a great idea. You know, we, as technology has boomed across the world and certainly in the United States, all the benefits of that technology has made us more efficient, and we tend to sit a lot more. We don't move like our ancestors did. They had different difficulties to deal with, but what we're dealing with is a sedentary lifestyle. That is, we may be living longer, but there's not much life in some of those years when you're not exercising. So we put a great emphasis. Most of these studies focus on aerobic exercise, walking, jogging, ellipticals, you know, cycling and things like that. One of the keys to longevity and one of the keys to living, you know, a robust and fulfilling life is maintaining strength and power into our older years. And the only way to do that is by doing some thoughtful strength training using body weight and using external loads, weights, dumbbells, and things like that, and getting some advice from a trainer or somebody else at a club, doing some research online, and doing that thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm. So some sort of aerobic and some sort of strength. Do we do every other day, every other activity?
Well, and again, I think you have to set yourself up for success. And if you're just starting, if you're coming out of the winter and you've been a couch potato, you've been hibernating all winter, don't come out of the gates saying, I'm going to exercise every single day and I'm going to get in shape here by June 5th.
Darn it.
Yeah, I know. I hate to break and burst your bubble there. But, you know, it takes consistency. It takes, thoughtful progressions, moving properly. And so what I would suggest is that most people can certainly find the time to exercise thoughtfully at least twice a week. You can plug something into your routine. And what you should do twice a week minimally is doing some weight training, flexibility, alignment, balance, and things like that. And if you can afford the time, you should go after doing some sort of aerobic activity a couple other days a week.
Okay, so it sounded like the weight training and the aerobics, we added flexibility and agility. What do we do for our flexibility and agility?
Well, the nice thing about flexibility is it doesn't have to be just about static stretching and doing calisthenics, like we were taught in Phi Ed class a million years ago for some of us. The flexibility and alignment and movement, your body can heal and gain flexibility just by moving properly. Mm-hmm. So understanding how to squat, how to, push things, pull things, rotate, and to move, your body will train itself to become more flexible just by doing the activity properly.
We are talking about exercise and wondering if you have any questions. Have you recently taken up a regular exercise? How's it going? What tips do you have? What's working for you? Or what obstacles, roadblocks are you running into? Are you maybe beyond just starting out and perhaps trying to train for something a little bit more vigorous? Our guest will have answers to your questions if you call 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, with the summer-like weather here, it's time to consider getting out and enjoying the nice weather. Are you ready for all the outdoor activities that you've been yearning for all winter and spring long? Or are you, like me, working on getting in better shape still and maybe even taking off a couple of pounds that you put on during the winter? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like some advice on starting or kicking up your fitness routine. We are talking with Pete Miller. He is a personal trainer and owner of the Pete Miller Performance Group, a Milwaukee-based team of personal fitness professionals. Well, as I mentioned, Pete, I do some exercise. I do some yoga. I do some aerobics. I do some strength training. And yet, I'm still kind of struggling with the extra pounds I put on this winter. My muscles are not what they used to be, and I'd like to kick it up. I think. What do you advise someone in my position?
We're going to get that personal joy.
Yes,
that's fantastic. So I would suggest that understand that weight loss and getting to that target weight that you're looking for is probably 75%. Diet-related, mm-hmm. and 25% exercise.
So I always think that I just have to exercise more to take care of what I think is the little bit of food I'm already consuming. But well, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so, you know, and that can, you can get into a cycle where you're trying to out-exercise a bad diet and you end up chasing your tail. Now, feeling good and functioning at a high level might be the converse of that, which is 75% what you're doing, the strength training, the aerobics, the yoga, and 25% diet, although, you know, the foods that we put into our body have a big effect on how we feel. So, you know, maybe one definition is what are you doing for strength training or what are people doing for strength training? Oftentimes what I find is what people refer to as strength training is really just more endurance or more aerobic training.
I see. It's more like these body sculpt classes where you lift weights and use resistant bands and that sort of thing.
Right, which I'm a big fan of. I mean, that is great, but that's not strength training.
Oh, what you is? Know, what is, would be better?
So strength training is, you know, understanding how to move first and foremost so that you've got good body alignment, good body awareness, and you're moving beautifully. Then being able to add external loads onto that to the point where you're not just getting yourself out of breath lifting a light load many, many times, which is what you would do in you know, the body sculpt class that you're referring to typically, but actually, you know, lifting weights thoughtfully, progressively, where you cannot perform another repetition of a given exercise, you know, more than, you know, somewhere between, you know, 5 to 8 repetitions. So heavy loads, and people just normally, they're not comfortable doing that. And if you're not comfortable doing that, get the advice from a professional that knows how to teach you to get to that point.
All right, so I have to have heavier loads than I probably am. And again, I'm using myself as an example. I assume
right.
There are many out there that that want to know some of the same things.
Of course.
And my husband, bless him, knows that I'm trying to kick it up a notch. And one thing that I haven't really gotten into, and he says it's the best exercise ever, and it's mainly aerobic, but we have been out for a walk just about every day this week, mm-hmm. just for 30 minutes. And it's, you know, we try to have it on the brisk side, but that's it. What about that?
Well, it's great. It's a great baseline of movement and effort. There's lots of studies that would indicate that a moderate to, you know, brisk walk on most days of the week have great health benefits, wonderful health benefits. But, you know, if one of your goals is aesthetically, and, you know, I've met very few people that don't have at least 5 pounds to lose, you know, everybody,
mm-hmm.
Or more. And walking is just not going to get the weight loss kicked into gear. It will help. It's a piece of the puzzle. But the bigger piece is going to be diet and then adding lean muscle tissue to your body, which is going to have the benefit of stabilizing your joints and also increasing your metabolism. So you're not just burning the calories while you're walking, but if you're adding some lean muscle tissue to your body, which you can do at any age, it's harder as we get older, but certainly at any age you can add lean muscle tissue. Your metabolism will increase throughout the day and you'll burn more calories just doing your day-to-day living.
Yeah. Add to that aerobics classes like Zumba and cardio dance and sometimes an occasional turbo kick or kickboxing type class.
Mm-hmm.
Adding that to the mix, I just can't run. And I don't think I'm alone. I mean, do I have to run to really get good cardio benefits?
No, mm-hmm. you don't. It depends on what your goals are. If running is certainly going to burn more calories per hour than walking, of course. But if you don't like to run, you know, we kind of started the show off with do what you like because you'll be compliant. If you just hate running, don't run. You know, hike and walk, and whenever possible, if you another way to add some intensity on your walks or hiking is, you know, get to a spot where you can walk up briskly up some hills. So you're elevating your heart rate and you're adding intensity and difficulty. Walk up the hill, walk back down the hill, do it again. You know, then move on your day.
Hey, you know what I learned though? You should not wear flip flops when you go on your walks.
That's a good tip.
I have shin splints right now from doing that. I mean, I'm assuming that's what it's from anyway.
Yeah, that would be what it's from. For sure.
So
diagnose that over the phone.
Yeah, make an appointment at the shoe store and get a decent pair of shoes if you're going to do any of this stuff.
Yeah, that's a great way to start. And typically, even if you're walking, a decent running shoe is what you're going to want to get. You don't necessarily need to get a walking shoe, even if you're not going to run. Get a running shoe. I'm a bigger fan of the running shoes that are out there now that have been coming on the market that have a lower drop from heel to toe, but and more of a not such a high padded heel that running shoes historically have had.
Yeah, I just saw in the news that those barefoot shoes are a bunch of bunk.
Well, I think that's a little bit, you know, too broad of a statement. I think they have a time and a place, and they've got a an application. Should you be running, you know, barefoot running is wonderful, but when we think about our ancestors running barefoot, you know, they weren't running across asphalt, concrete, and they weren't wearing shoes that held them in place throughout the day, and then all of a sudden they're going to go out and run 5 miles in their barefoot shoes. I think there's a time and a place for short bursts, for sprints, for running stairs, running hills in your barefoot shoes. I think they're a great thing to wear in the gym when you're doing weight training and movements like that. But I would not run a marathon, you know, or a 10K for that matter in a barefoot shoe. Some people would. I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, an email from Suzanne. Is the CrossFit program safe? It seems to be an extreme exercise program to me.
I love extreme exercise, but that's me personally, and I think it's a great thing for people that are able to do extreme exercise. But jumping into a CrossFit program when you are remembering your high school football days and thinking that you're going to recreate that without doing the proper progressions to get into that program, I think you're setting yourself up for injury and disappointment. Yeah. CrossFit can be, I want to be careful not to say it is, but it can be built out as, it's a high-octane workout, powerful Olympic moves with a lot of repetition, and Olympic movements require a high level of flexibility and technical skill. And when you don't have the high level of flexibility or technical skill, and then you throw a bunch of volume on top of it, you're setting yourself up for injury. So if you want to train like an elite athlete, remember you need to be an elite athlete.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I know a couple of not exactly elite athletes who work here at Wisconsin Public Radio who are in the program, and at least early on in the program, were limping around, and they had like their shins were actually scraped from some exercise they were doing improperly. So you got to be careful when you're.
Well, it may or may not be improperly. You do scrape shins if you're doing deadlifts and things like that. You know, that's a badge of honor.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, it can be. So it doesn't. But CrossFit is something that is popular, and it needs to be thoughtful. Olympic movements were meant to be done in low volume, not tons of repetitions. And when you add volume onto those type of movements, you can have problems.
Do I have to run in CrossFit?
There is some running involved in CrossFit, but what CrossFit does promote is, you know, the high intensity training. It's not in specifically endurance training like a marathon. It is short bursts of high high output, and which is a good theme for everybody. It's just the intensity and what that high output looks like for someone just starting, you know, that's been in a program for 3 or 4 months is going to look a lot different than somebody that has a long life of training at high levels. But short bursts of high intensity followed by recoveries and then repeating that is a great theme for exercise.
You know, obviously you're a personal trainer, but do you think people always should see a personal trainer or a professional if they want to get started on a new routine?
Is that a trick question?
Yes.
Of course they should. In fact, I've got this great group in Milwaukee on Water Street that they should see. But I think if you want to set yourself up for success, there's lots of information on the internet, but anytime you're going to start something as important as getting fit, feeling good so you can take a trip, play with grandkids, play with kids, set a goal out there of running a 5K or, you know, doing something, set a goal, set a target. It's great to get expert advice to show you efficiently and effectively how do I get to that goal.
Let me hold you there because we have a newscast from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next, and then we'll continue talking about our physical fitness with Pete Miller, who is a personal trainer from Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a Milwaukee-based personal trainer about how to get started on a new exercise routine, how to change our exercise routine, common pitfalls to avoid, and whether it's possible to exercise too much. And we are welcoming your questions and what works for you. Are you training for anything in particular? Are you? What do you like to do to get outside and be active in the summer? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 6:37. Our guest is Pete Miller, personal trainer and owner of the Pete Miller Performance Group, a Milwaukee-based team of personal fitness professionals. And let's go to the phones as we have callers waiting. Greg in Eau Claire is with us. Hello, Greg.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. If this winter was kind of particularly cold, but it was also particularly icy, and I do a lot of my activity walking. I used to do, I walk at 5 to 10 miles a stretch, and I'd walk a pretty brisk amount, so I would be winded. And this winter, or a couple winters recently, it's a lot more difficult for me to actually walk on ice. I'm losing my balance, or I don't know if it's like the muscle tone. I'm just losing, balance, and it's a lot harder to walk. And this winter, I was kind of holed up, pretty much, for 3 months, not being able to go out. And it was just difficult. And
how might someone like Greg keep up his, fitness or cardio routine if he can't get out and walk in the wintertime? And what else can he do to not hibernate like he was?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. If I'm hearing Greg correctly, we've got potentially two things we're dealing with. Yeah. And when you're dealing with slippery and ice, you certainly need to be cautious with that and maybe take another look at what type of footwear you're wearing. Putting something, there's products out that you can strap under your shoes that actually are like, old school snow studded tires, so to speak, to give you a little bit more traction. So footwear and traction is one thing. The other thing Greg alluded to was balance. And again, when we're talking about a fitness routine, we, as a society, we tend to get fixated on endurance training, walking and running and ellipticals and biking and all that. But balance is something that is compromised as we age, when we stop playing on playgrounds and doing things that challenge our balance. Your body's nervous system and the components that drive you to have good balance get weaker, so to speak. So Greg, adding some balance training to your daily routine will help improve your ability to walk. So standing on a single leg in the morning while you're brushing your teeth, getting on a single leg and doing some different reaches overhead and to the side and things like that, doing some squatting motions and things like that, that will help improve your balance to strengthen those little proprioceptors within our joints to improve how we move.
How about that, Greg?
Yeah, that's good. Also, the shoes. I usually buy, like, hiking shoes. They're really good. They're Merrell shoes. And I kind of wear them out, you know, every year. And I have to buy them every year. And I'm thinking that Merrell is a pretty good, product. And this year, it's been 6 months, and I have to get a new pair because they've been cracking, and I haven't really walked on water or anything like that. And it's just, you know, do you have recommendations about, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not to sell a product, but is there, you know, a particular brand out there that's good for that?
Well, you know, for icy, or wet conditions, I mean, I would be more inclined for myself if I was out exercising in the wintertime. I tend to still wear a running shoe if I'm out there. And the sole of, again, not to promote one particular brand, but La Sportiva has a sole on it that has a stickier sole when it gets wet. And there are plenty of running shoes out there with aggressive lugged soles that are waterproof and will keep your feet plenty warm if you're out there in the winter conditions.
Good luck, Greg. Thanks for the call. We have Braden in Washburn with us now. Hi, is it Braden?
Yes.
Hi, Braden. I understand you're 8 years old. Yes?
I was just wondering that if climbing is a good exercise.
What kind of climbing?
I think climbing is a great exercise. What type?
Climbing walls.
Yeah, a climbing wall. I was wondering if it was a climbing wall or actually rocks, outside. But anyways, climbing is a good exercise, Pete.
I think it's fantastic. And now, Braden, is this? Are you climbing indoors at rock climbing gyms? And when you say climbing walls, you know, are you at home and do your parents know?
No, I'm not climbing. I want it's too flat.
But are you doing this inside, Braden?
No, not really.
Okay, so he's doing it. I guess he's doing it outside. So,
well, you know, and rock climbing gyms that are around. Rock climbing is a fantastic form of exercise. I mean, requires a lot of flexibility, upper and lower body strength. And if you've got access to an indoor climbing gym, again, if you like climbing and you want to try something new to set a goal, you know, get some instruction, measure your progress and all that, join a gym, join a rock climbing gym, go and take some lessons, learn how to do it, and it might be just the thing that will get you more active and excite you to go exercise. Do what you like.
Here's an email from Gail. I have severe arthritis, including bone on bone of both hips, one which has had replacement surgery. I used to run, but I have such pain for many years now. What can a person like me do to regain my strength or at least keep fit?
Well, so again, potentially, I'd be careful not to read into what attributed to the hip issues. It could be a many variety of things. But if all someone has done for the majority of their adult life is one repetitive sport, running or something else, and they haven't married that with some thoughtful strength training and things to improve balance and challenge the body in different planes of movement, repetitive volume often contributes to overuse injuries. That may not be the case here. But what she may be able to do is do some non-impact type training and things that don't hurt, you know, being thoughtful about that so you're not injuring things further. But doing some weight training, getting into a gym and having a trainer teach her how to squat, how to lunge, how to do some upper body exercises, how to connect her trunk or her core with the ground, you know, so that she's moving better. Yeah. And give her some give her a program.
Do you
training and power is where it's at.
Yeah, so you say that again, people are focusing too much on endurance type activities when they should be focusing more on strength and power.
Yeah, if their focus is cardiovascular health, if their focus is weight loss, running, walking, long, slow distances isn't necessarily the good recipe. It isn't the good recipe for weight loss or cardiovascular health. Now, if you're training for a very specific event, you want to do a marathon, you want to do an ultra marathon, a 10K, you need to go out and run and train for that systematically. But if what you're looking to do is perform better at the sport of life, life is about strength and power. It's not about endurance. If you're coming in with a bag of groceries out of your car, coming into your house, you drop your car keys and you've got to squat down to grab those keys to pick them up without putting the groceries down, or you got a kid in an arm, that's a strength move. That's not endurance. We weren't designed necessarily to do long, slow repetition activities. We were designed to burst, recover, and move on.
Yeah. So just Gail or anybody else who has trouble running, how about me? Are you saying that we should just concentrate on these strength and functional fitness type activities and never mind the run or the bike or the cardio type aspect?
No, I'm not going to throw all those things out and say that they're bad. I certainly wouldn't do that. But one thing to keep in mind is you should not run to get in shape. You need to get in shape in order to run.
Yeah.
Because what happens when we don't have beautiful, good movement patterns and strong, you know, kinetic chain from the ankles all the way up through your shoulders, you go out and run, and we run through the pain. We run through little aches and pains, and you develop bad movement patterns. And when you add volume onto bad movement patterns, you end up with overuse injuries, stress fractures, knees that are giving you grief, backs that are giving you grief. You need to be in shape in order to participate in those activities.
We are talking about how to get started on a new exercise routine, how to, you know, change up or improve your exercise routine, and welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We figured it was time for a tune-up, being that it is May, the end of May, and many of us have abandoned our New Year's resolutions to get more exercise. And now it's getting nice out, and we might wanna get outside and be more active. So what are you looking forward to doing? What works for you? What doesn't? What questions do you have? We are talking with Pete Miller, personal trainer and owner of the Pete Miller Performance Group, a Milwaukee-based team of personal fitness professionals. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking about getting in shape, getting fit, starting or changing an exercise routine with Pete Miller, personal trainer and owner of the Pete Miller Performance Group in Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, lots of callers now. Lauren in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, I'm going to be having a baby soon, and I'm wondering if there's a good plan for me to get myself back in shape after the baby, and I can listen off the air.
Okay.
Good question, Lauren. So part of it, if you're currently exercising going into your pregnancy, my advice would be focus on staying in shape right now while you're pregnant and make it easier on yourself postpartum to get yourself back into the extreme rigors of running around after a young child. So, you know, check with your doctor, see if there's any complications, of course. But if you're currently exercising, pregnancy is not necessarily a time to increase greatly your amount of exercise, but it's a great time to maintain and stay with it. And you can do reasonable training throughout that exercise. Listen to your body, listen to how you're feeling. And then once that you are done having the child, you know, perfect timing coming into warmer weather here in Wisconsin, and get out and start training. And again, focus on improving balance, flexibility. There's lots of body changes, of course, that go on, which you don't need into all the technicalities of balance and all that with pregnancy, but train for balance and strength when you're done.
Harry called but couldn't hang on and wanted to know what you think the dangers and benefits of yoga are. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I joke with the yoga instructor at our place that it's a passing fad. It's only been around for about 3,000 or 5,000 years. So.
That's right.
Yoga is a fantastic exercise, fantastic lifestyle, and it is a great complement to strength training and power training, and it's a great piece of working out. Dangers in yoga, you know, often many of these things all come down to the instructor. Are you pushing yourself too far and overriding your body telling you to not stretch that far, to not get into that pose? Are you overriding those things and putting yourself into a dangerous position and doing more harm than good? So I'm a big fan of yoga. I think it's fantastic. And again, it's just the application of it that you need to pay attention to.
Our next caller is Alan in Shorewood. Hello, Alan.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me okay? I'm in my car.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I've been doing strength training probably to the exclusion of other things for 30 years, you know, and something I enjoy doing. I've been doing basically the same kind of stale routine for most of my life. I'm looking to kind of change things up a little bit, and I wonder what the opinion is of either CrossFit or I looked at another book by Jim Wendler, I believe his name is, who has a powerlifting routine that's, you know, pretty simple and pretty fast. Just wondering, you know, if you had any opinion on those, and, you know, I'll take the answer off the air, if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead. We did touch on CrossFit in our first half hour, but you like it, Pete.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm going to stay neutral on CrossFit. I think I want to be clear on CrossFit. The broad brush, CrossFit is generally designed. They teach people how to move, and that's great. It's designed, the attraction is an elite, highly athletic workout, high intensity, and people are attracted to wanting to train like elite athletes. If you don't move like an elite athlete, don't do CrossFit. You're going to set yourself up for injuries.
That's right.
Okay, but the premise of CrossFit, the movement patterns, the functional movement patterns are fine, but training needs to be planned out, thoughtful, and it's not just a workout. Training requires you to be thoughtful in the training for endurance, training for strength, and training for power, and not just fixating on one of those pieces. We've got to have great alignment, beautiful movement patterns, flexibility, and thoughtfully move towards strength and power and lifting heavier weights and not just focusing on endurance. So variety is important with your strength training program. You want to hit the muscles from lots of different angles. But again, getting instruction and learning how to do that properly is a great idea, if that answers the question.
And I think he left. But, you know, in back in the old days, I remember being told to just do weight training every other day to give the muscles a chance to recover. Is this still the conventional wisdom?
That's a good simple way to look at it. Give your muscles a chance to recover from a particular movement pattern or training, and every other day is fine. You certainly can be more complicated than that, but for most folks looking to get stronger, they will achieve what they want to achieve by making strength gains and power gains by doing some weight training 2 to 3 days a week, and they'll be able to continue that for a long period. If you do too much, oftentimes you burn out from it, and you know, and it's got to fit your lifestyle.
Yeah, is that one of the more common mistakes that we take on too much too fast and burn out?
Well, I think so. I think our expectations are faulty based on what we see in the media, what we see, you know, what we should look like, what we should function like. You have to do a reality check and have some self-awareness of where am I at right now and what are my expectations with how soon can I be feeling better? You know, and oftentimes it takes 6 to 8 weeks of some steady, committed training to start feeling like, oh, you know, I'm moving better, I feel stronger, my posture's better, I'm not as winded going up and down stairs and all those things. And then just sticking with it. But it's just like a diet plan. If you starve yourself and you're too extreme in trying to diet some weight off, you may lose the weight, but after 2 or 3 weeks of eating tree bark and skim milk, you're going to burn out and attack the Girl Scout cookies and go back to where you were.
I did that. Jennifer in Appleton. Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning. This is for the lady who called in with the arthritis in the hip. I was wondering if perhaps water exercise would be something for her to consider, because the water will support her weight and keep her buoyant and relieve pressure on her joints, but she still would have the opportunity to do exercise. She might consider checking out her local YMCA. I've taken water exercise at my local YMCA in Appleton, and I can tell you there are people of all ages and all shapes and sizes, so it's not something that anyone has to feel self-conscious about.
Mm-hmm. Water aerobics, how about that? And I know that you can use dumbbells and other, you know, resistance things while you're doing that, Pete.
Yeah, I think, you know, water exercises as a start. To take some load off of your body with the buoyancy of the water is a great way to add into your exercise and fitness routine, lifestyle, whatever you might want to call it. So water exercises are great. Keeping in mind that, again, and you know, we function on with gravity, so you've got to move and progress into doing things that are land-based as well.
Well, in our final minute, what's your recommendation for people who want to know more or start a new fitness routine?
I would focus. I think our society focuses way too much on endurance training, aerobics, cardiovascular health. All of the cardiovascular health is not just gotten by running, jogging, doing elliptical, cycling, and swimming. You can gain proper heart health from strength training properly and power training. And power is the elixir of youth. It's the reason you can get across the street if you slip on some ice and you can catch yourself and stay strong into your 80s and 90s.
Sorry that we have to end it there because we are out of time. Pete, thanks very much for being with us.
You bet.
Pete Miller, personal trainer, owner of the Pete Miller Performance Group in Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.